back with another exciting episode of Laughter the Club. Exactly the podcast we're recording tonight. I was thinking about it earlier and I was like, what am I recording tonight? Laughter the Club. It's been a minute. It's been a while. But hey, Jeanette, it's Jeanette and Pow here. You know, a little LATC, a little LAT sizzle, as they like to say on this side of the coast. How's it going?
Yeah, it has been a while since we've done this, and I don't know whether, like, apologies to our loyal listeners, and if you thought we were dead, not yet.
Just when they thought they were getting rid of the old LA gang, we still keep it, you know, a little consistent. We've probably been the most consistent podcasters on I would say Laughter After Hours. For whatever reason, I want to say Laughter Hour After Hours or something like that. I don't know. Again, it's been a little while. But looking forward to this weekend. We got some weird rain yesterday. Did you experience like all the thunder and the lightning too?
No, just the rain and very sick of it. I hope it does help the drought, but no, I'm getting very fed up and I would like for it to stop raining.
I had a student whose house flooded. He was like, our house flooded. And I was like, I know, I got the email. I was like, it's crazy. How does that just, your house flooded, huh? But no, yeah, I'm ready for it too. But we had a thunderstorm and I was like staying a little bit after work to get some, you know, some get ahead on today. And yeah, just my whole classroom was rattling when the thunder was coming in. And I haven't been through a little thunderstorm like that in a minute. I was like, oh, you don't have too many of those that often. But rain talk, weather, salute to phlegm, you know. But I'm glad it's sunny this weekend. I'm headed to Dutch country this weekend, Jeanette. Old Solvang, California.
Ah.
That's Dutch country, right? Danish country?
I don't remember. I thought it was.
It's Gnome country. We know that. Let's see. Solvang. Up, Dutch town. Oh, thank goodness. Maybe the Danish and Dutch is the same thing. So maybe I'm just like, you know, whatever. But I think we might try to stop a little bit in Santa Barbara, you know, take it in. Definitely going to take the coast there if tomorrow's going to be a nice little sunny day here in Southern California. But it's really funny, like, talking about certain things because, like, I think a lot of people think of Solvang as, like, Northern California, but it's still Southern California, you know. And again, people think the grapevine's like the halfway point. And if you look at where the grapevine's at, and then you look at how much more California there is north of it, it's not. You know, geography talk as well. Salute to phlegm again. Speaking of salutes, Jeanette, I think you had a special salute you wanted to get off the ground here.
Oh yeah, so I know that. Like, I don't know what people's expectations were for Chris when he took over the executive producer role, but it's not like he doesn't get the beats of the show. And I think, yes, there have been moments where he's been a little too overeager, you know, we know that they can have various conversations going on and they have to pay attention to what is being said, either on air or in their headphones. But goddamn, over the last 2 weeks, he has been on his game with the little show drops, like done within the show. Like when he always catches his dad with something, and I just like the standout moments were last week where he unearthed the "I'm with Lewis on this" file while putting together the memorial montage for Richard Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And then this week, oh my gosh, he did it again this week. Oh, with the Stugat, what was it? Something like a stat, like an old sounder where he like mispronounced the word and they kept using it. But oh my god, that is like for him just to be like start to get that quick and, you know,
yeah,
to bring back these show moments where it's kind of like, oh, you know, maybe you for like me, I forgot some of these things, and then to hear them, it's just like, ah, oh, that's a nice little flashback. So salute to Chris. He's been doing great, and keep it up.
No, yeah, I agree. And I think the one thing I've realized is like just how much work Mike Ryan was doing for so long. Not just like, you know, running the ship as far as, you know, guests, corralling Stugots and that. It just as far as like even like to me, like kind of producing some of the comedy of the show and like how he kind, you know, how he kind of sets up bits and little things like that. And it's, you know, it's kind of a special thing that he does. And Whittingham, when he took over, Whittingham, I would say had the like the technician skills and the efficiency that Mike had behind the booth. And that way it was, you know, when he took over, it was a little bit easier, more of a smooth transition. Where Chris, I would say, has that same sense of humor, that same quickness and that same wit. Maybe it's not born out of like musical talent and impressions, but Chris is so quick. And I was realizing this a lot when they've been kind of putting him more in that chair, and you know, he's been having more mishaps or like, you know, mishaps, but he's been really quick to flip it. And I've been really impressed with him from that standpoint. And I agree, this week he's been doing a really terrific job with the sounders. When Dan didn't want the like ta-da sound and he was just going with the Paul McCartney, the bah, right? Like it was quick. It wasn't, and it's quicker. That's the thing, because like you could tell for a little bit there where he needed to find certain sounds. There was a beat, a pause, and then he'd, oh, there we go. But like even that, like it would make it funny when he would acknowledge that, like, I, you know, took a little bit long here. But no, I agree with you 100%. Salute to him. He's been really fantastic. He's been really great for the show. Take man in the board, and you could just tell he's getting better week by week.
Yeah, and also there's like a slight change to the fact that when he kind of feels like the show, like they're stuck in something where he's like, is this going well? Or when he is trying to like say, we need to wrap this, let's move on, that he's not dismissed, especially by Dan. And it's like, okay, we'll go to the next thing or we'll close this out. So even him asserting himself is met with a little bit of, oh yeah, this guy's like the EP now. We, you know, he's not just, you know, trying to end a segment early, or he doesn't want to, or, you know, he, like we said, because he gets the sensibility of the show and also of like the fans, or he could just be like, oh no, this is not good. Let's go to something else.
Yeah, I do miss the how's this going, right? When it wasn't his responsibility to be like in charge of those things, but no, he's been really good. Even Stu, I don't know if it's like some of the lines they've been feeding Stu, but he absolutely killed me this week when he was like, "It's not hating, it's fading." That line killed me. I was trying to think what he had said the day before. Like he had two back to back with Chris that just absolutely floored me. But even like Chris talking about like not dating his wife. And then revealing like, oh no, like, come on, I'm just doing show. Like, come on. You know, I'm just trying to do a little razzle dazz here. Some Zaza.
Yeah, and while we're on that subject, I kind of, you know, as someone that was partially introduced to the show through Dan explaining bits, I do understand his need to do that for the new audience, and also sometimes like don't say anything, because I think that's part of the thing that can hook you. Or maybe it's different now because it's not TV and it's like your best social clip might bring you new viewers, new followers and stuff. But yeah, I think if just maybe for like the benefit of social media, when he has a very serious point of view, that it best be done if he is in a costume, preferably like with a little bit of face makeup, because I always think when they have to go the extra mile to like paint their faces in a particular way, then they really were committing to that costume that day.
That's why I want to see him as the Grinch. Like, I really want to see him as the Grinch. And well, actually, since you're speaking of costumes, you had an idea here for because you were actually You had two things you were wondering. First of all, let's touch on punishments. You were thinking how many punishments that they have left, right? You want to know. We need to see if we can, like, Pablo Torre finds this out, or we do some investigative journalism as into how many punishments are left before the start of the next football season. Because Billy has been ruling with an iron fist this year, and they've been moving through a lot more punishments, I would say, this season than they did last season. Last season, they all kind of, like, gave up for a while. Actually, for the season.
Yeah, like, because it seems like there was a time where, or I may just be remembering wrong, but it seems like Dan was showing up to do the show like every other day. He would be in a costume. That's why by this point, like this week, to see him dressed as Wonka, I was really thrown off, because I'm like, he's done so many of these. How many more does he have left? Or is it truly just he's getting by and like living his costume fetish by just saying like, I'm paying off a grid of death, and, you know, pretending to like hate it the whole time? Because, yeah, like, you know, I'm like, there was only 17 games this season. I don't think Dan went like 0-17. So to me, I would just figure by now, for this past season, all the debts are done, unless he's still paying some from like two seasons ago. Which is just like crazy to me to imagine that he is that filled with integrity and like
he is guilt, he's a man
or something.
No, he's definitely a man of integrity.
He has to pay all these things off. It's nuts.
No, I'm with you. He is a man of integrity. That's what it is. He's stepping up to the plate because he's realizing we've promised something to these fans, and they expect a certain level of quality from the show, and I'm going to give it to him. You know, whether it's being the Grinch, Kane, I think I saw Willy Wonka, somebody called him. I was trying to think of puns for Willy Wonka all day yesterday. Wasn't coming up with many good ones at all. You know, it was a tough one. Not my best, you know, attempt at making some of these, right?
Did Chris call him Milky Weight?
He called him Milky Weight. Yes, he did.
There was another one that was also really good. I don't remember, but they got him. They got him good.
I was crushed when they read on air Way Mysterio, and I was like, "That was mine." And then they all went, "That was terrible." And I was like, "Oh, tough day, tough day." Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, because then, like I said, I'm just confused how he's still paying off punishments when it seems like he's done so many already, and you know. They're the only ones that know how many there are left and what punishment that person picked. Because remember before the ESPN days, they would like, it was either like on the scroll or something, but they would let you know that, hey, you know, tomorrow, da 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 da, or you would just tune in and there would be, you know, everybody dressed up like Dan and like no explanation. So.
Do you have a best costume from this past like year? Let's say like we rewind a year ago to March. Was there any that stood out to you as your favorite? I have like two in mind. I don't know if I have enough for a top five, but I definitely have two. By the way, Tony's Neo did not look like Neo. He looked like Young Farva from Super Troopers. That's all I see. I think it's the haircut with the sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
But he did not at all look like Neo to me. But my top two, because that's all I really have, is Stu Gotz as Larry Bird.
Mm-hmm.
That's number two. And then number one was Billy as Mankind. Billy really did a great job coming in as Mankind. And then he had to work, I think, in the main seat. So that was really interesting as well. But somebody who's also Billy was, I don't know, I feel like this whole week he's been kind of just like this, and then like his little quips here and there, but the Billy and Tony back and forth kills me every time. Especially even the times Billy doesn't comment on some of the things Tony's saying, if I know he's there, they'll show him, like, because I watch the YouTube, some like just at least the live hour from the gym. Billy's always flashing him looks, like they'll have Tony talking and then they just kind of cut to him. But I love that dynamic. I just really do. But yeah, best costume. What do you have? Do you have a one in mind?
I think it was when Dan was the Mad Hatter. That was a really good one, and not from this year, but it's a very, it's really good. It's Greg as Walter Mercado. That one was really good too.
Hashtag Mercado Schlong.
That was a watch along, right? It was like a Heat game, I think.
Was it a Heat game?
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Or it was a basketball game. It wasn't a, I don't think it was a football game.
No, you're right, because it was a watch along, so it was late at night. So, no, yeah, I agree, because I've made like.
Oh, that's also when Dan was dressed like Ronald McDonald.
Dan, honestly, Dan dressed as the Joker was really funny. I liked it. I liked it when he was the Joker. Even Kiss. Kiss was really, really good as well. I'm trying to think of some other notable ones that maybe weren't just Dan. But him dressing up is definitely good. Dan as fake Dan, as the 21 Savage Dan.
Oh, yeah.
That was really good. I really enjoyed that one. I enjoyed hearing some of Stugot's scams today on the, I know I meant to, I have Pablo Torre here, but I had him for a different reason. But I was listening to the podcast today on with him and with him, Dan, Mina and Mina. And Dan. Yeah. And it was really funny hearing about Stu's scams about like a stick to sports where like him and Pablo give takes and then they put on the Velcro suit and they go stick to a wall.
And I feel like I've heard that before.
I feel like I've heard that before from Stu, but with somebody else.
I think it was like Sedano or Billy may have asked him about it.
Yeah, no, I from Sports Bang too, like around that era, because I remember this, and I remember now that you mention it, I was like, no, yeah, because when I was listening, I was like, I feel like I've heard this idea before. But to be honest, what I thought what was funny was that Stu brought a friend to the studio that was just as like ballsy as he is, that kept asking until he was like, well, can you call Poppy to tell him to come in?
Yeah, they've talked about that too on the show before. I think Dan at the time did not address it when it happened. It was like at a later on some other point. And yeah, it was brought up, and that's when like he kind of, you know, was just like, you know, just completely shocked and probably upset and like, what the fuck, this guy wants my dad to drive from his home here just so he could take a picture. Like, are you serious?
No. The audacity, seriously. Nah, that's like a wild thing to say. I can't believe there's people that are like that are just like, hey, hit him up. What are you doing? Shoot him a text, you know? WYD. Like, I can't, it was just really weird. But yeah, just to touch on that, I thought the audacity of it all was funny, but the other Stugot scams, I really enjoyed hearing about. I always love hearing about his little scams on the side, or like what he's telling people on the side, because they always talk about how like on the show, like they amp up versions of themselves, right? Even Chris mentioning that, like, oh, the not calling them date nights. He was like, no, I'm just doing a thing. You know, like everybody's doing this thing. Like I'm doing a service to the show. I'm doing a thing. And with Stu, it's like, it is true when they say like, no, that's just Stu. He's who he is, like on the mic, off the mic. And I love hearing those little bits and pieces. I really just love hearing the stories about him, especially if he's there and they're all talking about him right in front of him. And then he's just like squirming in his seat, uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, last Friday, I really enjoyed that they had the snake in the chair. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
And they kept
like cutting. I think a lot of stuff gets missed. They're, you know, for as much as they want to be up on like social, I think they do. It seems like they put a lot of their energy into saving the show and doing the other like recorded bits for the show instead of Twitter. Because even like Instagram, I feel like you see more of the stories that they're working on, or the, you know, the recorded bits or clips from the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they do less of that on Twitter. And as someone that, like, I have that up, I check it, and I'll see, like, just to see like what they were doing that day. Cause I don't check Instagram often. I don't hardly ever like use YouTube for their show. So like I do miss certain things just from listening, like when they're like, the audio audience is not going to get this, but for those of you on YouTube, you know, like when Tony was doing the Matrix moves. And so it's like, oh, and then when I saw it, when they released the clip, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. That's kind of funny. Yeah. But.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. The show has just been, I don't know. I've enjoyed this transition phase, and I've enjoyed kind of watching what the video product has become. Because it's come a long way, and that's why, like, some of the new things that they're trying, I'm like, you know, I want to try that in some of what I do. But you could definitely tell that now that they worked at becoming an HBO product. But I still love the little imperfections of the show. I really enjoy mistakes, because it just shows that we're all human. And like with this show in particular, what really caught me with it was just not taking things so seriously, especially like a game like sports, and they don't do that with themselves. And it's helped me out with myself. And like, I enjoy, I don't know. I've been laughing so hard at the uncount. So it's little things like that. Like, they've really upped up the video production. It's really looking a lot better, you know, a better television product. And then you have something like the uncount, or how they talked about like running amok, how that was like, run amok. And I don't know, I think they still have that issue though of like, you know, trying to have the same product on audio that they have on video, or making it as close as possible, because I've still noticed times where I'm like, oh, this podcast product is longer. I don't know if it's because of an ad, or sometimes it's like they have different parts of the show on visual than they have on audio, and they'll have different parts on audio than they have on visual.
Yeah, that's why I've said it before. I can't, like, do. I'd rather hear the spliced up version of what the show was, or how they put it together, or why they stitched it that way, as opposed to, because I've tried watching YouTube, and then I'll be like, okay, I'll go in, I'll listen to what they did. And when I find it out of order, it messes with me. So I'm like, I'm just going to stick to the podcast. And if I catch something on their socials, I'll catch like a visual joke. But I don't particularly know what's up with like what they do as far as putting a show on for HBO and Roku and all the other channels that they're on.
Yeah, I would say that since they started going back to the format of, like, we're going to post local Big Sioux hour one, hour two post game, because they've gone back to that format on YouTube, it's been a lot smoother. But I definitely agree with you. The one thing that was like really difficult for a while was that everything was out of order on the YouTube. And then it was also affecting the Spotify product too. It was coming out later because of that also. But no, I was also I had this thought the other day, you know, how ESPN took away hour three from them. Yeah. I don't know if we want to keep, I was just thinking, I was like, you know, do we want to keep it the Big Sioux, or do we want it to go back to hour, you know, have that be hour one, then have hour two, hour three. But I think, you know, I think the Big Sioux is here to stay as a de facto. It's kind of like, I would say the Big Sioux is more of a mystery crate sometimes than the mystery crate is. You'll get different podcasts thrown in that slot on a Friday here or there. But, let me see. Let's think about some of the next topics we have. We have more salutes on the board here. And it goes to two other people that have been working really hard on the show. And Janelle, Emily, you take over here with this, since it's your topic.
Oh, yeah. So I just wanted to take time to salute and recognize our friends, Andrew Streeter and Yeti Blanc. You know, Yeti, it doesn't seem he hasn't stopped in like, seems like 6 months of producing parody and original music for the show himself, the Greg Cody Show podcast, and the same thing with Andrew. Every, you know, like all the stuff that he does on Because Miami. Today they released a new song, and it's like to hear, especially on Because Miami, to hear these very, very upbeat, like happy songs about kids being arrested, about politicians being corrupt and beating their wives, and all the other general, as you know, Billy Corbin says, the general fuckery that is Miami and all that stuff. That's like the thing. Like I'm like, and I noticed it today. I'm like, Andrew must purposely do this. He must be hunting out, you know, Copacabana, you know, the Beach Boys Kokomo. I think there was a, was it, I think it was a Michael Jackson song that he used today. And I'm like, all of these songs that we are familiar with, that we know are upbeat and typically
catchy
and very catchy. And he is singing about fascist crypto bro and like Mierda coin and all the other stuff. And it's like, I finally got it. And it's just like, both of them are incredibly talented, hardworking when it comes not to just the music that they've put on the last couple years for the show and the show universe, but in their own lives. You know, they have been musicians. Andrew has released songs, so has Yeti, and they are very serious and dedicated about putting out good quality music. So we shouldn't let their efforts and their time and energy go unnoticed, and just thank them for adding to the shows and, you know, giving us something to sing about. You know, like his name is Pook.
Puka Nakua.
And now I do the thing where when I hear the song in real life, like I would rather hear Greg singing Puka Nakua than Manilo.
Yeah.
It's like, ah, oh, guys, come on.
No, I do the same thing when I hear certain songs too. But no, I agree with you with Streeter, like purposely choosing catchy songs, because like he's hunting those out because he knows like it's gonna get stuck in your head. Like I can't tell you how much I've been singing like The Rest Is Still Unwritten when I haven't sang that before in a long time. But it was so incredibly good and catchy. But I was just telling somebody even today, and I was messaging them about like how happy I am for like Juju. And then I extended that to even Yeti and Streeter, because it's so cool that like a lot of us just being fans of the show and how they've like looked to involve people, and you could kind of just see that like they're actively working all the time. When Dan talked about like, hey, can you contact Yeti and see if he can produce a song for us during the break so we can come back to it? And I was just like, stupid me not realizing that like Yeti probably produced this over the weekend or like a weekend or two ago. I thought they were actually gonna call him, and I was like, man, this man has a job, he's got kids, like responsibilities outside of the show, what, you know, how is he supposed to do this? But then I quickly realized, like, you idiot, like, no, it's he's
doing a thing.
Yeah, he's doing
theater
a thing.
Of the
he's
mind
a, yeah, theater of the mind, he's already done this. And I agree with you. I'm so happy for the two of them. Vegas was, you know, I wish I was there, because that would have been the coolest part for me. And I don't know if that was one of the coolest parts for you guys. And I know we had a podcast with them where we talked to them about this. So sometimes it's not as easy to say, but like for me, that was one of the coolest part. Wasn't so much like what the show was doing. It was just like that a lot of you guys were having a really good time. And then you guys were like just being supportive and watching others have a good time. And it came with Yeti. And Streeter. So it was just like the fact that Streeter was helping produce some of those podcast episodes too, I was just incredibly happy for them all. And and even hearing this, like the amount of songs they've like cranked out, and I was just thinking about it, you know, literally today at work, like I remember hearing like some of their first songs come on the show, and then like you start hearing them more and more, and then I remember like the first time I talked to them, you know, via Twitter, and just to see where they're at now, you know, very proud of those guys. Big time salute.
Yeah, like I said, they put a lot of time, energy, thought into these songs, not just the parody show songs, but also the ones that they do within their range, their styles. And we, you know, this should not go unrecognized because they're really good.
Yeah, no, they're incredible. And like I've enjoyed all the songs that they've been, putting out and producing, and it's just been nice to see some of the recognition they've been getting. And I'm glad the wrong song, is getting its play. I hope that's my Sui nominee right now for the next come this August. I'm voting for the Thong song just because the loins, the baby.
Have you noticed that he's tried to like replicate that in other things he's doing, trying to like reach, you know, like that? And it's just like, I think you used up like your one.
What it is he's thinking about it too much. And when he released the baby initially, that wasn't on his mind. So he was able to just freely go out there and burr, just belt it, Eat your heart out, Manilow, right? Even though that's not who sings that song, it's Cisco, but still.
Ooh, you know how Coogler or Sullivan, Matt, one of them was like, who should I book for the show? It's like he should try to get Cisco and they play that for him. Maybe he could be a celebrity prognosticator.
Ooh, I like that idea. Do you think there's gonna be a March Sadness tournament this year?
No.
Yeah, I don't think there's gonna be one either. I think there looks like game is a little dried up right now. I mean, last year what helped them out is they like were able to crank them out because they asked the audience for help like, a couple weeks out, which would be, last week. Right? Because it's gonna be like a conference tourney time coming up this weekend, isn't it? I don't
Yeah,
know.
I think they mentioned something last week and Billy was like, or 2 weeks ago, and he kind of was just like, no, he didn't want to read through hundreds of entries to whittle it down to 64 plus NIT. So, and plus, I think because, they were coming back from Vegas, they were focusing on other things, and it's probably one of those things that it's just like, ugh. Plus, all, it's not the same without Kirk Chin.
Yeah.
Like he also sold that bit having him there. So
Well,
like
that's
the
why they
only
always had him
person,
stockpiled,
the only person I could think that maybe would has a similar laugh might be Mina. But it's like they would have to hit her with banger after banger after banger to get her laughing for a good bit to where she'll laugh at, at something that maybe she wouldn't have thought was funny just because she was already, in the euphoria of laughter.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think having Stu there would help out because Stu laughing as hard as, his
No,
fake laughing as
it's
hard as
not
he goes.
authentic. No, it's not authentic. It has to be somebody that gets the humor. And or like in that way, and that's why, or has a great laugh, and that's why it's either Kirkshin or for me Mina. Anybody else, it's like we don't need Stu's fake laughter because he is always just like, yeah, he can spot the dud, but it's like when you're if you're hearing your entry and Stu Gatz is laughing, part of you is going to be like, is that a fake laugh?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think you're right. That's the only other person that could do it. But you're also right on the fact that like it has to be banger after banger. It's because Mina is not laughing at like any half-ass joke. Like it has to be a really good one for to get her. I agree with you on that one. All right. Well, I think that's a good point to wrap up there. We wanted to hop on and do a nice little pod. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up tonight? I think we touched on all the topics that we at least wrote down. Any more salutes? Salute to
I
Juju.
don't. Oh, always salute Juju. I'm sorry that his Thursday Thunder was it just Thursday Thunders or was it also
It was
against the
one.
spread?
It was one. No. Against the spread, he hit. That's how he went 10-0. And then he
That's
went
why.
2-for-1 on Thursday Thunder. Michael Porter Jr. did not get him those rebounds. So he chose the over, which I was like, man, that dude does not hang out near the rim.
Yeah, so like I know that his streak ended or he's disappointed that he went 2-1, but there is always every day brings more opportunities to grind tape and to see what's what. So the next time that he has to make these predictions, not just for the honor of the show, but also to make fans who are eligible to do this through DraftKings, you guys can get some money.
Mm-hmm.
So salute to Juju for, just being an all-around great guy, having our backs, our money with these parlays, and in general just for everything he does for the show and for the fans. So thank you, Juju.
Yeah, salute to Juju, honestly. And he, and like I've loved that he's been in Miami these past couple days, because the show's been really, really good with him. The fact that he called out the uncown, like I said, that joke's been killing me.
He's going to be best dressed for their Oscar
watch-along
thing, right?
100%. And he's going to be such a team player with that, too, where it's not going to just be Ben Lyons. By the way, hearing Ben Lyons today did not bring you back to 7-10 days? When they were talking to him, I was like, this is
weird.
So weird for me.
I was waiting for him to just be like, super producer Mike Ryan. I was waiting for that.
I was like, what's his name? Kat's going to come in next and start talking to him? Is there a Kamenetsky brother waiting around the corner? I don't know.
Yeah.
LATC, so I guess they understand that a little bit. But no, I agree with you. He's going to be the best dressed there. Roy's going to have a fedora on. Oh, man, when they were talking about Roy's nightclub called Fedoras, absolutely floored me, absolutely killed me. I love Roy talking about what he thought was his idea of a date night, too. And I was like, I don't know if Roy's doing a bit here or what, but I hope he is. But, yeah.
What was it? It was a hockey game or a heat game?
Was it I think it was a hockey game.
Yeah.
Something that he does all the time.
But this time he wasn't in the press box, so that's why it was a date.
Kachuk you!
See, there you go.
Salute.
Salute Matthew Kachuk.
Yeah, salute Kachuk. All right, Kachuk, all of you. That's been another fantastic episode of Laughter the Club. I am Pow, and we had Jeanette tonight. We had a little LT sizzle. Good night. Where's the stop recording?